Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Loughlin. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Mario Williams has him around the waist and he drops him. Super Mario gets in on the sack party.
Yeah! Let's go, Buffalo! Come on, baby!
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Ball into the end zone. It is intercepted. It is picked off. Aaron Williams made a leaping interception in the end zone.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. Tonight on the show, we check in with Bills cornerback Ron Brooks, a draft pick just a couple of years ago. We'll talk about his bid to make the team again this year. Chris Brown, Bills insider from BuffaloBills.com, joins us at 8 p.m. to talk about his latest analysis of the draft, and we'll hear from Bill Polian, the former Bills general manager, now with ESPN, his view on Thursday's first round.
This is pandemonium.
Finds a crease up the middle, dodges a man at the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Fred Jackson.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome. Good evening. Monday night, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. The start of a week that's going to be a big week here and all over the National Football League. The draft is coming, finally, this week. We've been counting down days and weeks for months now, almost since the end of the Bills season last December. But it's coming up this Thursday. Round one, Thursday night, 8 o'clock, Radio City Music Hall. Rounds two and three, Friday night, 7 o'clock, Radio City. Rounds, the rest of them, 4 through 7, starts at noon on Saturday. All kinds of coverage here on the radio show. We'll be here live on Thursday night for the first round. We'll extend the show to the end of the first round, 7 o'clock until whenever, probably at least 10:30, 11 o'clock, maybe a little bit later. Round 1 coming up on Thursday night. Round 2 will be here 7 to 9 p.m. with coverage of probably the second round and maybe getting into a little bit of the third. Maybe not. That typically takes 4 hours or so, rounds 2 and 3. And then more coverage here on our flagship WGR Sports Radio 550 in Buffalo on Saturday, starting at 11 a.m. with the draft starting at noon. As you get set for the draft, don't forget this. Make sure you tune into our televised draft special, the 2014 Buffalo Bills draft special. It is Wednesday night, May 7th, this Wednesday, 7 o'clock on WKBW TV Channel 7 here in Buffalo. Also being aired in Rochester on Wham TV Channel 13. Chris Brown, me, Alexandra Vitale, Jeff Russo. We'll talk to Doug Whaley, Jim Monas, the Bills player personnel director. E.J. Manuel will relive his big draft day from a year ago. Charles Davis of the NFL Network. Much more. Our Buffalo Bills draft special Wednesday night, this Wednesday, 7 o'clock on Channel 7 here in Buffalo and in Rochester on Wham TV Channel 13. So, tonight on the show, let's talk more about the draft. You heard the lineup. We'll take a break from the draft at 7:30 and talk with Ron Brooks, Bills cornerback, fourth-round draft pick a couple of years ago, getting set for his third year with the Buffalo Bills. 8 o'clock, Chris Brown, Bills insider from BuffaloBills.com, joins us at 8. He continues his series On the Clock, presented by Michelin. Today's series is Building Through the Draft, Believing in Building Through the Draft. Chris has done a very lengthy story on the website, talking to many general managers around the league about what it means to build through the draft. We'll talk with him about that at 8 o'clock tonight. And Bill Polian, a guy who built through the draft, a former NFL general manager and team president, 8:30. We'll hear his thoughts from a conference call today as we get you set for the draft. Thinking about the draft, we had a pretty good topic last. I can't remember it was Thursday or Friday. But we talked one of those days about what would be the perfect draft for the Buffalo Bills. What would you like to see when the draft is over? What would you like to see the Bills have in mind? Going to turn the tables a little bit tonight on the show because we want to hear from you. What would be the imperfect Buffalo Bills draft? In fact, what pick would make you pick up a brick and throw it through the TV set on Thursday night? What would be your least favorite move the Bills might make this coming week? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter, as some already have. You can reach us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. What draft pick could the Bills make that would have you absolutely disgusted, ready to throw your brick through the TV and say, that's it, enough? Is there one guy in mind? Is it a position? Is it a quarterback? Is it a certain Texas A&M quarterback who would get that kind of response from you? Is there a position group? Are you absolutely dead set against an offensive lineman? Are you absolutely dead set against a running back? Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number to call, or toll free 1-888-550-2550. What move, what draft pick could the Bills make that would have you absolutely livid? Sean Franklin tweets in, I would think the only reason I would throw a brick to the TV would be if we traded up to get an offensive tackle for our first pick. Traded up to get an offensive tackle. And then on the other hand, Donald Hoyt tweets in, get our lineman in the first round is boring, but it is a big need. Matthew tweets in, Odell Beckham at 9 and a running back at 41. This faithful fan would call it quits. Yeah, I mean, there are stuff that could happen. But, Rob Patterson tweets in, maybe not a brick through the TV, but Zach Martin means things did not go our way 1-8. A good player in his own right throw. Right, though. I think that's fair to say. Eric Chidester tweets in, it's like the Groundhog Day movie, but in this version we draft Aaron Maben over and over each day. I like that one. Which pick could the Bills make? Which move could the Bills make on draft day this coming weekend that would have you absolutely out of your mind mad? Absolutely ready to throw a brick through the TV. I love football. Bills tweets in, I'm fully on board with the Bills front office. I'll embrace whoever they choose. That's the other extreme. Let us know what you think. What pick might the Bills make, could the Bills make, that would have you so mad you'd throw a brick through your TV? 803-0550, the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. Start with Sean in Rochester. Hello, Sean. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi there, John. The thing I've been fearing, we've been hearing rumors about Buffalo trading up to number one. I wouldn't mind that as long as we trade up to number one to take Clowney. If we trade up to number one and then use it to take Khalil Mack or Sammy Watkins, who we could have had at, say, 3 or 4, that would just be nightmarish for me. Trading up that far just to overpay for someone, I would not like. I'd love to be number one, or I'd love to get Clowney or Watkins at a different spot. But put the two of them together, and I just might find a bridge.
Well, there's plenty of bridges in Rochester, Sean. But, yeah, I think that doesn't seem like that would make a lot of sense to trade up to number one and not take Jadeveon Clowney. I think the Houston Texans are banking on somebody wanting to be the number one pick and taking Jadeveon Clowney. That's why they're in a pretty good position as far as holding some cards there. But on Watkins, Sammy Watkins, what if they could trade up to 4 or 5 to get Sammy Watkins? What if they could trade up to 5, maybe make a deal with the Oakland Raiders if Sammy Watkins' last 4 picks? Is it too much to expect that he could? And what would it take to move up that high? Second-round pick at least, I would think. Maybe more than that. I don't know. That's just something I was thinking about today. Everybody likes Sammy Watkins. I'm sure the Bills do as well. And maybe that's something they've considered. I'm sure they've considered all kinds of scenarios. Like, at what point do we get where now we can maybe be able to make a move to jump up and get Sammy Watkins? That's off topic, though. Let's go to Chris in Hamburg, who's back on topic. Hi, Chris. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, John. You said what would make me put a brick through the TV on draft day, and I was thinking, I'd be pretty much okay with a lot of things, pretty much any position until you got to talking about position, actually. And I thought, if they draft a safety, that could just, I could flip out because they let Bird walk.
Yeah, that makes sense. If they draft a safety at 9 or a safety anywhere in the first round?
Anywhere in the first round, I would say.
Yeah, I understand that, yeah. Okay.
I mean, look at what Tennessee did. They let Werner walk. They let traded Chris Johnson. And now some of their draft projections are to draft a running back and a corner. I mean, that just makes no sense.
Well, I know what you're saying, but you have to admit, money makes a difference and age makes a difference, especially when you think about Chris Johnson, not so much Jarris Bird, but money and, well, Bird is a money thing. It makes a difference, right, for a team?
Well, yeah, I guess it does. You just hate to see teams draft and develop players and then watch them walk for nothing.
I agree. Yeah, well, that's the world in which we live in free agency, but I hear what you're saying. Bob on his cell phone. Hello, Bob. Welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing? Same thing, safety. And then I want to say that I would actually, probably a lot of people disagree with me. I have no problem with them taking a good tackle. What I'm sick of seeing, and I'm sick of tired of seeing over the last 10, 15 years, when we need a 3rd-and-1 to win the game, or we got to get 1 yard to get in, and we're getting our butts pushed back, that I can't stand. I want to see a guy pull over somebody and knock them on their rear ends. That would be nice for once. So if we get a great tackle or somebody that's nasty that can go in there and do that, and then when we need to win the game in those situations, it'll be about time for us to start doing it instead of getting, you know, giving the ball back to the other team. I mean, it's been happening for years, so I got no problem with them taking a tackle.
All right. Thanks, Bob. And many people feel that way. There's not a whole lot of instant gratification when it comes to taking a tackle or any offensive lineman. There are not a whole lot of highlights to look at, not a whole lot of big plays to project in your head that guy would make, unlike when you draft an E.J. Manuel or a C.J. Spiller or somebody like that. But, yeah, I mean, it could be a good, solid pick. And if Jake Matthews is there when the Bills are picking at 9, I mean, they'd really have to think hard about that. I think they'd love it if Jake Matthews were there. Alex in Buffalo. Welcome, Alex. You're on the air.
Hey, John, thanks for taking my call. I was just going to say I would be pretty ticked off on draft night if they took Ebron at 9, even though, you know, draft experts would probably say, oh, it's a good pick, it's about where he's expected. I just don't think he's going to be that good. I heard you say on an earlier episode that you notice something about his personality that's just cocky, and he doesn't seem like he's going to be too good of a good pro mindset. So I don't think he's going to work out too well. But having said that, he is the consensus number one tight end, so I guess I would come to terms with it, but initially I would be pretty upset.
All right, thanks, Alex. Yeah, and I noticed the cockiness at the combine, and it did bother me a little bit there. And then about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I looked at more video on Eric Ebron and saw how he might, could be a good fit for this Buffalo team and is clearly the number one tight end available and a threat downfield. I mean, just a real good, solid threat to get open downfield and make some big plays downfield, which is why I sort of came around on him. I definitely come to terms with Eric Ebron if that's where they go at number 9. Mike in his car. Hello, Mike. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. You know, you talk about Ebron, and I know he's the consensus number one pick. Tight ends is a tough spot. It's a real tough pick. I mean, right now you have Vernon Davis. He didn't do anything for 3 years. You know, he didn't do anything for that team, and he was the number one tight end pick. If you remember, there was another tight end that had an attitude problem. His name was Kellen Winslow, I believe. And he was a consensus number one tight end pick in the top 10. And I think he fizzled out too. But the pick I wouldn't like is just an offensive lineman. I don't think it does anything for us right now in terms of winning. I would just love to see Manziel because I think it would bring national exposure to the Bills. I think they'd get the Monday night games. I think they would get national advertising dollars. And I think it'd be a smart financial move because I think it would enhance the value of the franchise.
Where does winning fit into all of that, Mike?
Where does winning? Well, I think winning's at the top.
And you think Manziel's the guy who can win?
Everything.
Winning?
Yeah.
Manziel's the guy who can win. In the NFL.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I disagree, yeah. But we talked about this. I don't know what the payoff is for fans when you say national exposure. All right. To me, winning brings national exposure. And I don't know that Manziel is guaranteed or even forecasted. I mean, for every Manziel supporter, there's a Manziel detractor for a variety of reasons, mostly because of his game, because of his physical limitations. But a lot of people love him, too. It's been pointed out several times on the show. A very polarizing a quarterback prospect. Some people love him. A lot of people don't. Frank in Gettysville. Frank, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, John. You know, I think I'd be angry if the Bills pick a running back because, you know, I heard some, you know, offseason they were talking about possibly trading Spiller, and, you know, I think they just don't know how to use him. I feel like, you know, he can be a top 10 player in the league. And one more thing is that last year I gave you McKelvin as having the career year. And
yep.
I think this time I'm going to say Ron Brooks.
Really? Why?
I just think that, you know, he's a little underrated. And I think if he, you know, he's had two seasons under his belt now. And I think he's a smart player, athletic. And I think he's going to have a very good year this year.
All right. Frank, thanks very much for your call. You mentioned a minute ago about they were talking about trading CJ. It's important to note that nobody in the organization officially was talking about trading C.J. Spiller. Maybe there was chatter around the Bills, but certainly I don't think there was anything serious along those lines. Mark in Jersey City. Hello, Mark. You're on the air.
Hello, John. This is how much I would hate this draft pick if they were to have taken this guy. If Zach Martin and Jadeveon Clowney were on the board at the same time on the clock, I would take Zach Martin. And everybody would go nuts, but Clowney has acted entitled this whole process. He basically gave up on his team, but nobody will basically say it. I know Greg Gabriel said he just basically quit, rested on his laurels, lollygagged through his junior year, and the only thing he's done is run a 40 this whole time. And I just would have a real bad taste in my mouth if they traded up to get that guy and tied up so much money in another defensive lineman. They have Williams on the books for a lot of money, Mario for a ton of money, Darius was just extended. I would just hate if they added that guy because I think he's an athlete first and a football player second.
Passing up, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, Mark, you'd be passing up at nine, especially if Clowney was there, passing up a guy who is regarded as not the safest pick in the draft, but certainly has the most potential to be a major player, like a perennial all-pro player. You'd be passing that up.
I've seen a lot of guys like that. I mean, Courtney Brown was supposedly one of those guys. Got injured, fizzled out of the league. LeVar Arrington. I mean, the league's proliferated with those type of guys that just were, you couldn't miss. They had all the ability in the world. But you make that guy a millionaire, he's got to go work for it. And it's a big difference.
All right. Thanks for your call, Mark. Let's go to Anthony in his car. Anthony, hello. You're on the air.
Hey, John. I think the thing that would upset me the most is if the Bills actually did follow through on trading up in this draft. I mean, for the first time in the longest time, the team has what looks to be a lot of depth at a lot of positions. And I think at this point in time, with everything that they've been preaching over the last few years, I know Doug Whaley wasn't the GM, and it was Buddy Nix, but he was part of that as the assistant GM. Everything they've been preaching, building through the draft picks are precious, all these things. If we start giving up picks to move up the draft, when we need to just sit where we are or move back in the draft, it would be a better choice, and start adding the best player on the board. I mean, I really don't – if we stayed at nine and took the best player that they felt was the best player on the board, I'd be more than happy rather than see them give up picks to move up and go after somebody who, you know, as you know, is a crapshoot. You never know. They may work out. They may not, even with the top-rated guys, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I read an interesting quote today. I think it was on Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback column about from a, I guess it was an unnamed personnel guy, general manager, who said something to the effect that when you have a lot of draft picks, which the Bills don't have, they only have six this year, but when you have a lot, you automatically, and this is not rocket science, but you increase your chances of maximizing the draft because I think most personnel people that know, they know innately that they're not going to get all their picks right, that they're going to be some good, some bad. When you have more, you maximize your chances of having more picks who are better players. It's simple as that. But you're saying, Anthony, you would not move up at all, not even to six maybe or four or anywhere. You wouldn't move up at all.
No chance at all. With the depth on the team that we have right now, you sit where you are and you take the best player you can, or you move down and you pick up an extra pick in the second round if we're talking about the first round pick. If you're talking about that first round pick, move back a few spots. You're still going to get, you know, a good tackle. You're still like, I don't even like they could draft the best corner at number nine and I'd be happy because they just went after the best player on their board. Right? I mean, it's not a glaring need, but it's somebody that is going to continue to create that competition. It's the way that the teams that are always winning are doing it and have done it for years. Look at Pittsburgh. Would Pittsburgh be caught up in this type of talk about drafting or trading up and trying to get some player moving up the board, or New England, or teams that are, you know, generally have a winning tradition? I don't see it.
All right.
I think it's a smokescreen by Mr. Whaley in it.
Thanks, Anthony. I generally agree with you, but in this year's first round of this year's draft, to my mind, there's one player who might merit moving up for the Buffalo Bills, and not moving up to one, not moving up to top three or four, but and that would be the receiver Sammy Watkins. I think he has that kind of talent, and if you can make a move without, you know, giving up a whole lot to get Sammy Watkins, I think I'd be on board with that. Tim in West Seneca. Tim, hello, you're on the air.
Hey, John, I love the show, but I got to ask you, you've kept us listening for this long. What is your draft? I mean, Mike Mayock has a draft. All the ESPN guys have a draft. Joe Buscalia has 9 drafts. I want yours.
Well, I'm not going through round.
We want to believe in something. We want to believe in something, John. Tell us.
I'm not going round by round. We kind of dealt with this the other night when we talked about the perfect draft.
No, but John, we're listening to you. You have everyone listening to you.
Drum roll, please. I'll answer you. First round, let's just talk first round. I would love it if they could find a way to get Sammy Watkins. I think it's a long shot, but it might mean a move up the board. I'd be pretty happy if they wound up with Mike Evans. I have a feeling.
What if we stayed status quo,
at
John?
9?
What if we stayed status quo?
Then Eric Ebron.
The whole draft.
Yeah. Well, Eric Ebron.
We need receiver, tackle. What do we need? We need you, John, to tell us.
If it's 9 in the first round, Eric Ebron would be my pick, the tight end. And this kind of goes to what we talked about the other day with the with an offensive lineman and maybe coming
Couldn't
in the second.
Could we get a guard and a tackle?
What's that?
In number 2 and number 3?
Yeah, I'd get an offensive lineman in the second or third round. I'd get a receiver somewhere along the line, and I would get a running back, a big running back somewhere in the top 4 picks if I could.
Well, that's beautiful. Why don't we do that? Why don't we start preaching that?
They might do that. They might just do that.
Stop being fake and going out for one player. Those 3 we need.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Yeah. Yeah, that might be exactly what happens. But as we sit here 3 nights before the draft, you can also speculate that maybe there's a move up or move down, but maybe there's a move up to get a particular player, and maybe there's somebody they have in mind, which is why I'd like to keep that option open. And it would only – the big move up and the cost to me would be worth it for a Sammy Watkins. I think that's unlikely. The second big move up, which would be a little bit lower cost, would be for Mike Evans. I don't know – you know, I wouldn't give up a whole lot more than a second rounder to move up to get him. And if they stay at 9, I believe Eric Ebron will be there, and I believe that will be the pick. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We're going to switch gears and talk about the current roster with a current member of the roster, Ron Brooks, a cornerback. Came to the Bills in the 4th round out of LSU a couple of years ago. You might have some insight into some of the LSU draft prospects in this year's field. We'll open up the phone lines again and get more on this. What would be the most detestable pick the Bills could make or move the Bills could make in this year's draft? We know what you want. What do you absolutely do not want the Bills to do in the draft this year? We'll get back to that topic on the phones when we return. We're off and running this Monday night draft week around the NFL. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
A couple of days before the draft and another week of the Buffalo Bills voluntary offseason conditioning program for the veterans. One of those veterans is live on the line with us right now. He's been here for a few weeks getting set for his 3rd season in the NFL. Bills cornerback Ron Brooks joins us live on the line. Hi, Ron. How you doing?
What's going on? How you doing?
Great. Thanks very much for being on the air with us tonight. Tell me about week 3, and it's a little bit different now, phase 2 of the offseason conditioning program, huh?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. We're getting in, doing a little bit more field work and learning the playbook a little bit more on the field. So definitely different than the beginning part of the off-season training, but it's definitely going good.
What were the first couple of weeks like? Was it all just conditioning?
No, we were conditioning in the classroom, learning the new playbook on the field. I mean, not on the field, off the field. Just really learning the terminology and the calls.
And from what I understand now with this new week and phase 2 of the offseason program, the coaches can be on the field with you, and you do individual, like, position-specific drills now, right?
Yeah, today was actually our first day getting on the field with the coaches and doing, field work with the coaches and learning more specific things pertaining to the playbook.
All of this, of course, is governed and overseen by the collective bargaining agreement, Ron. Do you think it serves the game well to sort of gradually ease you and your rest of your teammates into the program like this?
Well, I think it does help, especially for the guys that are just getting here and getting acclimated with the team and learning the new playbook. It just really helps everybody learn the playbook together and slow things down so everything isn't so fast-paced the closer you get to the season.
Hey, Ron, you guys have some continuity back there in the defensive backfield. I would imagine you were pretty happy that Coach Henderson stuck around where a lot of other defensive staff left to go to Cleveland, huh?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Coach Donnie Henderson, that's a great coach. He's a great guy. And I really learned a lot from him. So I was glad to know that he stayed and felt like he had something special going on with our secondary.
Yeah, why is that? Why every one of you guys in the defensive backfield says the same thing? What does he do to build that sense that there's something special, that you're a special kind of unique group back there, Ron?
Donnie, he's a great coach, and he brings a lot of things that us younger players, he's forgotten more things than we've all learned together. So, you know, we take the things that he said, and he's brought a lot of things, technique-wise, learning playbooks and studying skills and study habits and things that we can really use off on the field as well as off the field.
Hey, Ron, what did you think about the switch of coordinators? And I'm sure you've had a couple of meetings already with the new coordinator, Jim Schwartz. What do you think of him and the kind of defense that he's going to ask you guys to play?
My personal feeling on the coaches, I like Coach Jim Schwartz. He's an aggressive coach. Definitely his progress that he made with taking Detroit, you know, from not being in the playoffs for a while, such as we have been, and taking that team and being in the playoffs consecutive years, you know, and making that franchise an even better franchise than what it was. So we just look forward to it.
Right on the line.
Yeah,
no, go ahead. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
Just bringing his knowledge and bringing his skill set that he brings with him to our defense.
Around the line with Bills cornerback Ron Brooks getting set for his third season with the Buffalo Bills, fourth-round pick a couple of years ago. Each of the first two seasons, Ron, you've been forced to the sidelines with a foot injury. The rookie year, it came in training camp. Last year, it came after the first week. Do you feel a little bit snake-bit through your first couple of years in the NFL?
Oh, yeah. I feel like I've had a tough, you know, beginning to the beginning of my first and second year. And I worked really hard to try to make sure that I stay healthy and keep myself from having to deal with any kind of injuries like that, like I've been dealing with the past 2 years.
What can you do, though? I mean, the first year, your rookie year, you broke a bone, essentially, like a toe in your foot, right? How do you prevent that from happening?
It's nothing really you can do to prevent from breaking bones. You know, just make sure you take care of your body and just make sure you take care of the things that's going on with you. If you have any aches and pains and things like that, just making sure you take care of them and get the little problems taken care of, really.
When you got hurt last year after, the first week after the New England game, did you feel like there was a missed opportunity for you to kind of take the next step in your second season in the NFL?
In a way, with it happening my rookie year and then it also happening again at the beginning of the season last year, It felt like I kind of got put behind the eight ball a little bit, but you know, I worked my way back into the defense and got a chance to play a little bit. But this year, I'm just looking forward to staying healthy and going back out there and competing with the guys that I have in my room.
One thing you did last year was contribute on special teams. You're one of the top special teams players the Bills had last year. That's got to be something you look forward to again this year, I would think.
Oh, most definitely. I've always been a special teams guy and love special teams. A lot of people don't think too much of special teams, but I think otherwise. You know, special teams is a way that you can get an edge on an opponent and really help your defense or your offense, you know, flip the momentum of the game.
You played special teams at LSU, right? Didn't you have like block kicks all the time at LSU playing college football?
Not more so block kicks, but just down in the ball inside the 20, getting tackled inside the 20 and just using my athleticism and getting out there and making plays, helping my team win.
On defense, Ron, your rookie year, when you played, they used you a lot at the nickel corner. Last year, they used Nickell Robey a lot at the nickel corner. Does it matter to you inside, outside, nickel, or outside corner? Does it matter to you? Is there one spot where you're most comfortable out there defensively?
Not really. I feel like my athleticism allows me to play inside and outside, whether it be corner or nickel. So being inside or outside really doesn't bother me.
It's a different game out inside, isn't it, with all the traffic and picks and teams trying to screen you off your man. I would think it's a lot different inside.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially the same thing as corner. At corner, you're on the island. Ben and Nickel, you have a little bit more help from your linebackers and your linemen being there, but essentially it's just about the same thing.
We're with Ron Brooks, Bill's cornerback, drafted in the fourth round a couple of years ago from LSU. When you were at LSU, you played with a lot of really good cornerbacks, including a guy. I was talking to a friend of mine who works for the Cardinals the other day, Ron, and he was mentioning how Tyrann Mathieu a year ago was like a controversial pick. The guy's done nothing but been a really good player and a really good a citizen out there in Arizona. What do you know about him, and are you close with him at all?
Oh, yeah, definitely. When I was in college and when he came in, we were all, you know, a tight-knit group, me, Tyrann, Pat Peterson, Morris Claiborne. A lot of us guys that are in the league now, we all played together, and we formed a tight-knit group. We were like brothers out there. So Tyrann is, like you say, he was always around the ball, making plays on the ball, and that's just in his nature, his character. He may be a smaller player than a lot of guys on the field, but he found a way to make plays and always play with a lot of heart and a lot of ferociousness, you know.
Yeah. Hey, Ron, there's a couple of LSU players in this year's draft class that you may know a thing or two about. Tell us about Odell Beckham Jr., the wide receiver. What do you think of him?
That's like my little brother, man. Odell is one heck of an athlete. You know, he when he goes out, he just gives it his all every time, and his athleticism, his speed, you can just see it in every play that he tries to go out and he tries to make something happen. And another, you know, compliment to Odell was Jarvis Landry. And those two were a great tandem at LSU, as everybody saw this past season. So not to take away from Odell or Jarvis, but Odell is a heck of a player. You know, his father played at LSU, was a track star. That's just his background, you know.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how much you talked to him. A month or two ago, not many people knew his name. Now people are talking about Odell Beckham Jr. being, you know, a top 15, 16 pick in the draft. He'll probably be in the first half of the draft on Thursday, don't you think?
Definitely, deservingly so. You know, he went out there and he played every game and gave it his all and made big plays a lot of the times, you know. And from the time he stepped on the field as a freshman, you could just see his competitiveness, his willingness to go out there and learn and get better every week. And I think if people really go back and watch his film, you see him get better through the years, from his rookie year at LSU through his last year, which was this year, him deciding to come out. You know, you can just see his progression and how well he got each and every week.
Hey, Ron, there's a lot of people interested in the LSU quarterback, Zach Mettenberger. What do you know about him? What can you tell us about him?
That dude has a cannon for an arm. You know, he ran into an unfortunate situation down in Georgia, but, you know, he got a second chance, and I think he's really made the most of his second chance. He learned a lesson, and he's really gone out there, and he's gotten better and didn't let his injury hold him back from doing anything that he wanted to do. Just went out there and showcased his talent each and every week.
I wonder, you know, we're only 2 years removed from the day you were drafted by the Buffalo Bills, fourth-round pick a couple of years ago. Do you think back about that this time of year, Ron, about what that was like to go through the draft a couple of years ago?
Oh, yeah. I think anybody that is in the league, they always think about it, their opportunity that they got when the draft came around. You know, it's just a hard thing not to reminisce on.
What do you recall most about that day? If you were a fourth rounder, that meant you were probably got the call around noontime on Saturday, I guess, huh?
Right, the second day. I mean, you know, everybody wants to go in the first round and on that first day, but I just have to stay patient and just believe in God that everything was gonna happen when it was ready to happen. So, you know, I was able to get an opportunity with the Bills and got on up here and just been playing football up here and doing the thing that I love to do most.
Hey, Ron, we appreciate you spending time with us tonight. Thank you very much. Good luck in the conditioning program that continues this week. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Ron Brooks, Bills cornerback, fourth-round pick out of LSU a couple of years ago. You heard him talk about some of his former LSU teammates, some of whom already in the league, others getting set to come into the league this year, and about the voluntary offseason conditioning program, the Bills in phase two of the voluntary off-season conditioning program for the next couple of weeks. And in this phase, the coaching staff can get out on the field for some individual position-specific drills. They're not game planning. They're not running plays, full team stuff yet. But it is a new phase of the off-season conditioning program that started today here at One Bills Drive and around the league. All right, we're going to come back. We'll talk some more about the draft, about what draft pick, what move the Bills might make that would just make you absolutely go berserk. Not happy if they do this. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again, Ron Brooks, Bills cornerback, for joining us. Some insight into the offseason conditioning program, into the draft, his thoughts on his draft day. Phone lines are open again. If you got thoughts on which draft move, which draft pick the Bills might make that would make you throw a brick through the TV, you can't believe they did that. 803-0550, the number, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. You can reach us via Twitter and tell us what you think. Charlie Oswald tweets in, drafting any quarterback or lineman outside the top three tackles in the first round. All right, who do you think the top three tackles are? Is Lawan in the top three? He has been most of the time. Is Zach Martin belong in the top three? Rich Fan tweets in, any of the players with off-field incidents involving misconduct with women? Fair, okay, fair enough. Joe Miles tweets in, any pick that involves the Bills trading away next year's first rounder, there is nobody worth giving up that much. Interesting. Chemo tweets in, if they were to trade Spiller or Johnson for a pick, keep them. They're good. Let's see, and there's one more I want to read here. And Sean Franklin is the one. It says, I just feel giving up picks for an offensive tackle would not be worth it. Anything else I would be on board for, believe in Whaley. All right, well, give us a call. Let us know what you think. Is there a move the Bills would make or could make this Thursday that would absolutely have you livid, ready to throw a brick through the television? Phone lines open 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We'll talk more, too, with Chris Brown. We'll throw that question at him. We do want to talk with Chris's latest feature, his on-the-clock feature, which is up right now at BuffaloBills.com. Building through the draft, is it still a viable strategy in NFL teams these days? We'll talk with Chris Brown about that at 8. We'll open up phone lines. You can phone in your comments and questions for Chris Brown at that point. A lot of different opinions. Obviously, Mike Mayock, NFL Network draft guru, has opinions, including on Jadeveon Clowney. There are reports out there today that the Houston Texans may go with Khalil Mack as number one overall. They have the first overall pick. You recall Mike Mayock reported that or said that, actually rated Khalil Mack his number one prospect back around the combine back in late February. Mike Mayock on a conference call just the other day talked about USC's Jadeveon Clowney and what he might bring and how this all may play out on Thursday.
Whenever a guy is blessed with as much ability as he's blessed with, and I've made the statement that he woke up this morning with more physical ability than any defensive lineman on the planet. And I believe that, anywhere on the planet. With that ability comes certain responsibilities or perhaps expectations is a better word. And there are times when he just kind of disappears. If you put on the Clemson tape, that left tackle from Clemson, Brandon Thomas, is a heck of a player, I thought got the best of him the entire game. So if you're that good, why do you disappear for a full game? And it's not as much technique. It's not as much double-teaming or triple-teaming. It's just sometimes he gets blocked and he stays blocked. And what I'd like to see is a little bit more of an edge about him. When he's motivated, when he was pissed off at Tennessee because their left tackle was chirping last year, he killed Tennessee's entire offensive line for the whole game. So I think when the kid's motivated, he's special. The downside to it is just coaches are looking at each other going, okay, we're going to have to manage that every day for 4 or 5 years. You'd like to see a self-starter, not somebody you have to start.
Interesting. That very interesting. Mike Mayock on a conference call last week about Jadeveon Clowney. Today, Mayock came out with his top 100 prospects list, and basically I printed it out. I'll take it into the draft on Thursday just to check them off as they go off the board. Who do you think he's got number one? Same guy he had number one back around the combine back in late February, Khalil Mack. From University at Buffalo. Mayock's got Khalil Mack as his top prospect. Heading into the draft, he's got Jadeveon Clowney, number two. Greg Robinson, the Auburn tackle, number 3. Sammy Watkins, the wide receiver from Clemson, number 4. Followed by Jake Matthews at 5. Taylor Lewan at 6. Mike Evans at 7. Eric Ebron at 8. Zach Martin at 9. And Johnny Manziel at 10. That's what Mayock thinks. More draft talk coming up in the next hour. Chris Brown will join us and talk about building through the draft. Everybody says that's the way to do it. Is it really the way they do it, though? We'll talk with Chris Brown about that and his latest on-the-clock feature on BuffaloBills.com. You're welcome to join us. Phone lines will be open for Chris Brown and myself after the top of the hour, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop CJ Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it?
Let's go sometime.
Hey, hold on. Let's go check it out.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. Everybody's on their feet in the stands. This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour 2, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, 3 days before the NFL draft. We'll hear some Bill Polian comments coming up at the bottom of the hour. He did a conference call today. He's part of ESPN's coverage of the NFL draft, round 1 on Thursday, as you know. Well, we've been covering the NFL draft on this show and on BuffaloBills.com for the last several months. And my colleague Chris Brown, Bills Insider, has written a series on the website called On the Clock, driven by Michelin. It's a examination, sort of an in-depth look at various aspects of the draft. A couple of weeks ago, Chris did Rise of the Right Tackle. A couple of weeks after that, Kiko's Story, drafting a Rookie of the Year, detailed analysis of the Bills' decision to draft Kiko Alonso last year. Today at BuffaloBills.com, On the Clock, driven by Michelin, believing in building through the draft. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, live on the line with us right now. Chris, thanks for coming on the air with us. How are you tonight?
Good evening, Murph.
Tell me again, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when you had you on the air. The On the Clock series that you've written, what's the concept behind it? What are you trying to accomplish with these pieces?
I think we're just trying to take a more in-depth look at some of the either developing trends that, you know, are not only maybe taking root here in Buffalo, but also happening across the league. You know, sometimes it's just trying to take a look at what's made other teams in the league successful and to see if, you know, the Bills are on the cutting edge, you know, under this new regime with Doug Whaley and, you know, Jim Monas running the personnel side of things and Doug Marrone on the coaching side, you know, how these things are coming together here in Buffalo, you know, under what I think people feel is new and exciting leadership. And I think on the whole, we've kind of found that, you know, they are on the cusp of what is current and what is potentially groundbreaking in terms of new directions that, you know, a whole new generation of young GMs are taking in this league with their respective clubs.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mention that, Chris, because in the first hour we had a couple of tweets and a couple of calls, and it seems to me there's a prevailing opinion out there when people anticipate this year's Buffalo Bills draft. I think people feel that they're in pretty good hands with Doug Whaley and his staff. And in fact, some of people tweeted in that it's okay, no matter what the Bills do on Thursday, I'm okay because I believe in Doug Whaley.
Yeah, I think that says a lot when you consider the fact that this is his first draft where he's pulling the trigger. So, you know, I think for the first regular season that he went through as GM to now, I mean, it hasn't even been a full calendar year yet. And so when you consider that, I think Doug's done a very good job of making some very positive inroads with the decision-making that he's undertaken since he's been on the job with the fan base.
We're live on the line with Chris Brown, Bills Insider. He has written on the website today, On the Clock, Believing in Building Through the Draft. Everybody says, every GM says they want to build through the draft, right, Chris? Everybody says that. Whether or not they do it is a different story.
Yeah, it was funny because I did get an opportunity to talk to Buddy Nix, you know, who's now a special assistant to the club, but everybody knows he used to be the GM. And he said in only a way that Buddy can say that, you know, more GMs pay that lip service than you realize, but I think he's right. Now, you know, there's different circumstances that come up that might lead a team to move away from building through the draft. You know, if they think they're only one or two players away, maybe they spend one offseason in free agency and pick up two essential players that can put them over the top and really have them contend for a title. Or, as we even covered in the story, you know, if you have a franchise quarterback and he's getting up in years and he only has, you know, maybe a couple of more years where he's going to be at the top of his game, maybe you load up on free agents, kind of like Denver has done the last two off seasons, to try to maybe get that one elusive Super Bowl, you know, after they acquired Peyton Manning. So, you know, there's different strokes for different folks, but I think the tried and true formula is to really build through the draft. You know, you got to hope you hit on two or three a year. And as Howie Roseman said in our story, the GM for the Eagles, you have four drafts like that in a row, you should be set for several years to come, because that's now the core of your football team.
Well, and also in the salary cap in the new CBA era, especially with the rookie salary cap, it almost like it behooves you to have to build through the draft and have younger, cheaper talent on the roster. If you have a really good player who's on his rookie contract, you're in great shape in the NFL now, right?
That's right. And I think that's some of the reason why we see younger and younger players getting thrust into more and more important roles. I mean, just as little as 7 or 8 years ago, you know, you'd have a first-round draft pick like Pittsburgh had in Lawrence Timmons. I mean, that guy didn't start on defense until his third NFL season. He was a first-round pick. I mean, that's, here we are 7, 8 years later. That's unheard of now.
Yeah.
And I think it's partly because, you know, these personnel people and coaches need to get the best bang for their buck. And if they think the kid's anywhere close to ready, he's going to be on the field playing a ton of snaps and a lot of minutes. Not only because he's talented, but because he's affordable.
We're live on the line with Chris Brown, Bills Insider, on BuffaloBills.com. His latest in the On the Clock series, driven by Michelin, is Believing in Building Through the Draft. If you have comments or questions for Chris or myself, lines are open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Who'd you talk to for this piece, Chris? You mentioned Buddy Nix. Who else did you get in contact with and talk to?
Well, we were able to get a hold of a few GMs around the league. I did get some help from some other colleagues at some of the other team.com that asked some questions for me for those GMs I couldn't get a hold of. They're kind of busy now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Howie Roseman, I thought, was a good person to kind of get some comments from, because, you know, much like the Buddy Nix and Doug Whaley regime, and he took over in 2010. And, you know, they had some rebuilding to do there. You know, and this is going to be, what's that, 2010, 11, 12. This is going to be his fifth draft class. And, you know, they made the playoffs last year in the fourth year. And, you know, it looks like they have their quarterback in place. You know, they had to go through a coaching change, much like the Bills did in 2013. And I kind of think there are some parallels there in terms of the way they're trying to build their respective rosters. So I thought he was a good guy to talk to. And we also had a couple of comments from Cleveland's new GM, Ray Farmer. So, you know, he was fully on board with, you know, agreeing that the draft is really the lifeblood of your organization. And, you know, he kind of inherits a roster that has been largely built through the draft, especially on the defensive side of the ball for them. So, you know, I think it's a situation where we were trying to find as many parallels around the league to kind of how the Bills are trying to build their team. We're trying to find as many teams as possible who are trying to do the same thing with young GMs in place.
You know, you also obviously talked to Bills GM Doug Whaley, and even though we all know this, I guess inherently, Chris, I thought it was interesting that Doug Whaley said flat out that your first, second, and third rounders should be starters.
Yeah, and you know, we can go back to the whole Lawrence Timmons comment. I mean, you know, that guy was just groomed, and you know, granted, Pittsburgh, which has been long been a proponent of building through the draft for decades, you know, they had established veteran players at those positions, so they could afford to groom this young first-round pick who's obviously talented, but they didn't have to put him on the field right away. And that's an enormous benefit to a young player when they can learn from a guy in front of them, and then when the time is right or the veteran player becomes cost-prohibitive, they just slide a guy like that into place and they don't miss a beat. And I think that's ideally where Doug Whaley wants to get and where Howie Roseman wants to get, and other young GMs, you know, Tom Telesco, David Caldwell in Jacksonville. I mean, these guys want to get to that place where, okay, this guy's going to cost us a boatload of money. We're not going to pay a boatload of money because we got this young kid who's ready to step right in. And that's why you want to hit on two or three guys every year in the draft. Usually they're your top three picks. And if you can do that, most of these GMs who we've talked to agree that you can appropriately and effectively replenish your roster and keep the flow of talent going through while also keeping your costs down.
You know, Whaley has said to the media around here the last couple of weeks, Chris, about how he feels like the Bills are in pretty good shape. They don't have any desperate needs going into this draft. And you write that as well, as far as the Bills roster, as you put it, appears as close as ever to reaching critical mass. What do you mean by that?
I just think there's enough talent on this roster now where they can compete on a week-in, week-out basis, no matter who they're playing. Obviously, a lot is going to hinge on the step that EJ takes here in year two. But, you know, I know you and I have had several discussions about this. I mean, really, it was quarterback play that really needs to step up the most to really kind of allow this team to make the necessary jump. I mean, they had a top-10 defense last year. There's enough talent on offense, and I think we all expect that talent to be enhanced with the draft this year. Probably on the first 2 days, we're going to see at least two picks on the offensive side of the football. So, you know, you roll it all together, and if the quarterback comes through, you know, you should be looking at a team that's ready to finally end that playoff drought.
Well, and you mentioned you spoke to Buddy Nixon. Buddy sounds like he was, you know, saying some other GMs paid lip service to building through the draft, and yet Buddy made the biggest free agency splash in recent Bills history just a couple of years ago when he signed Mario Williams.
Yeah, and I, you know, I give him credit. He said, yeah, that, we did stray there. You know, he didn't deny it, but he just felt that there was no way to get competitive. I mean, I think he was trying to play both sides of the fence, quite frankly, Murph. I mean, you know, he inherits a team that hadn't made the playoffs in 10 years, and there's pressure to win more games and be a better football team. And I think he knew the building that had to go on here, and he felt he needed a cornerstone, as he said it. And so he decided this one instance, you know, we'll go off the grid here a little bit, pay some big money, get this guy in place so, you know, opposing offenses actually have to game plan for somebody. And really, you know, when you think about it, you need 3-4 game changers on your roster. Hopefully one of them's a quarterback. I mean, I would say C.J. Spiller is probably another one on this roster, and Mario. And then, you know, there's some young players with potential to be that eventually. You know, Stephon Gilmore could be that guy if he can stay healthy. But you need 3 or 4 of those real playmaking difference makers to deliver those 3 or 4 plays each week that help you win the close football game.
We're on the line with Bills insider Chris Brown. His story up right now at BuffaloBills.com, part of his On the Clock feature presented by, driven by Michelin. Building through the draft, believing in building through the draft. You mentioned pressure, and pressure makes a difference, doesn't it, Chris, when teams approach the draft or approach personnel at all? A lot of GMs might not feel like they have time to build through the draft.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and some of the GMs expressed as much. I mean, even Doug Whaley said you pretty much have 3 years to make it happen these days in the NFL. There's just not patience largely among ownership in this league. And I think you're also fighting a battle, too, with your head coach, because your head coach knows his livelihood and job security is dependent upon him winning games. So he's going to want to draft players who are the most ready to win. And if there aren't enough draft picks that are ready to win, he wants you to spend in free agency to get improving players that know how to win. And so you're constantly fighting this balance, because as a GM, you kind of have to look 3 years down the road as well as the present day in building your roster, because you can't just be good this year. You got to be good the year after that and the year after that. And again, we go back to the draft model, and I think if you're drafting well, that's what perennially keeps you competitive.
In fact, you had quotes from Arizona's GM about taking a 3-year view as far as what you're doing in the draft, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Steve Keim, he's a young GM also that we wanted to get some comments from. And, yeah, I mean, he thought 3 years is what it takes. I mean, if you make a full commitment to the draft and building that way, I mean, granted, you're going to have maybe a couple of budget free agents that you sign just to plug a hole for a year or two before you can get a young guy in there. You know, he thinks it's going to take 3 years, sometimes 4. You know, and Howie Roseman was in agreement with that, too, when we asked him that. So, I mean, it seems like most of the guys think it takes 3 years, but they also think your job security is on the line after 3 years if you don't make some hay in the win column. So, you know, you, your margin for error is very limited. And I think, you know, if you take a chance on a quarterback and you miss, you're really playing catch up. And I think we saw that, you know, earlier in the previous decade with Tom Donahoe. I mean, sure. You know, he traded for Drew Bledsoe, and it wasn't going the way I think everybody thought it would in terms of wins and success. And then he drafts the quarterback in the first round in J.P. Losman in 2004, but that doesn't pan out either for whatever reason you want to attribute it to. And I think we saw when it was going the wrong way, he quickly loaded up on free agents in 2003, signing guys like Sam Adams and Takeo Spikes to make sure the team was competitive, but really the draft never adequately supported the veteran players. And so there wasn't a healthy mix there, and the wins just never came.
Hey, Chris, I also like the story you told about current Bills D-line coach Pepper Johnson, and especially illustrated how times have changed in the NFL as far as building through the draft, right? And talk about that a little bit, what Pepper Johnson told you.
Yeah, it was interesting because I just thought it was a good way to show how much building through the draft has changed. Now, we're going back to the mid-'80s when really Plan B free agency was just coming on to the into the discussion for general managers, and you know, free agency as we know it today was non-existent. So when you were drafted by a team, you were staying there, you know, unless they didn't think you were good enough. Then you were trying to find a job somewhere else. And so for a veteran-laden team like the Giants, who were a playoff team under Parcells at that point, you know, these draft picks come in, and Pepper Johnson's a second-round pick, which nowadays that guy's on the field, no questions asked, provided he's doing the right things in training camp. And Pepper Johnson said the first meeting they had with Bill Parcells at training camp, they're sitting in the room, and it's just the rookies, the draft choices and undrafted signees. And he basically said, he walked in there, first thing he said was, we don't need any single one of you. We're just fine without you. So just jump on, this train's already moving, jump on the back of the train, you better hope you can hang on. So Pepper Johnson said, I knew he was a tough coach, but I thought that was pretty cold.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, you know, why did you draft me in the first place if you don't need me? So, I mean, cooler heads kind of prevailed, but I think it was a wake-up call to all those guys to really bust tail, try to make the roster. And those were the kind of head games that Bill Parcells played with everybody, not just rookies, and what made him such an effective coach. But, yeah, I mean, that's unheard of now. I mean, second-round picks, they not only are a lock to make the roster, I mean, they're probably starting if they're doing the right thing in training camp. Yeah. It's just a different time now.
Hey, Chris, is this the end of the on-the-clock series, or is there anything more in the hopper coming up?
Yeah, we got one more installment that's going to come after the draft. You know, I'm going to be in the fortunate position of being in the draft room this year, and so we're going to kind of document the goings-on, and basically our final installment for our on-the-clock series is going to be how the 2014 draft class came together. So we're going to kind of document step-by-step how it all unfolded for this year's draft class. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Chris, thanks for being on with us tonight, spending the time with us tonight.
All right, take care.
Thanks a lot. Chris Brown, Bills Insider. He said, really an outstanding series of posts on BuffaloBills.com. On the clock, driven by Michelin. Today, up there now, is a lot of the issues Chris and I just talked about, building through the draft and believing in building through the draft. What do personnel guys mean when they say we're going to build through the draft? But even if you go back, and you can find it all on the website, the rise of the right tackle, one of Chris's on-the-clock features. And just a couple of weeks ago, Kiko's story, drafting a rookie of the year, how the Bills came to draft Kiko Alonso this time last year. Look for him on BuffaloBills.com. On the clock, driven by Michelin, all written by our man Chris Brown, the Bills insider at BuffaloBills.com. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're talking about the draft and the Buffalo Bills. We put this question out there earlier today. Was there one move the Bills could make, one draft pick the Bills might make, that would absolutely have you throwing a brick at your TV set? Let us know what you think. Give us a call, 803-0550, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A call from Erie, Pennsylvania. Hello, Erie. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two different situations that would absolutely drive me to the absolute limit of insanity. I think that taking Jadeveon Clowney would be one of the biggest mistakes we would ever make as an organization.
You mean moving up and taking him, or taking him at 9?
Trading up and, okay. and possibly taking him at one. I don't think he's going to go to nine, but I think it would be a huge mistake. He's probably the biggest high risk, high reward player in the last 8 to 10 years. Looking back to Jamarcus Russell, I think he's questionable on his work ethic, and I think the new contract that we gave to Alan Branch, we kind of messed up that entire system that we tried to build up within the last year or so. The second player I would not go for, and I've kind of been sick of hearing about it, is Johnny Manziel. We got so much respect for EJ Manuel, and I think that the fan base that doesn't believe in EJ Manuel is kind of disgraceful. I think that Thad Lewis is a great backup. He definitely proved that he deserves that spot as a backup role. And there have been some callers in tonight that have been talking about what Johnny Manziel brings to marketing a franchise. He can bring us national televised games, I believe, if he starts. If that's what the Bills take him, but he can bring national televised games. But I mean, we can see what Dallas has done with their national televised games, but they've only won one playoff game in the last 10 years or so. I don't know what the actual stat is for that.
Yeah.
The biggest marketing success would be winning games, and you see franchises like Pittsburgh and New England, and recently like Denver and Seattle and San Francisco, that they're winning games, and that's why they get put on national televised games each week. It just seems like it would go down the road of like Terrell Owens, which I believe is the biggest headache we've ever had as a Bills franchise organization. I have faith in Doug Whaley and his scouting staff, and I think that they'll definitely do a great job at this year's draft.
All right, thanks. I'm with you on the – I don't know that, you know, national attention is worth anything. Wins are worth something. Wins get you national attention. I think when you say, let's draft Johnny Manziel so we get national attention, I think that's foolish. Let's go to Jack in California. Hello, Jack. Welcome.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Okay.
I was just calling in to talk about why I don't think that Ebron should be the pick.
Okay.
Mostly because a lot of the time people list tight end as a need for the Bills because they struggle to score touchdowns once they get into the red zone. And a lot of people think that tight ends help out with that. But when you look at Ebron and the way that he scores touchdowns, a lot of time it's not going up and getting the ball over a defender and boxing him out like a basketball player. It's a lot of catch and run stuff.
Are you still there, Jack? Did we lose you, Jack? I don't know how we lost him. His point was he doesn't know if the value of tight ends is something that early on in this process I had doubts about too. But when I watched the Ebron tape, I changed my mind because I do think he is a difference-making type of tight end. I think he could. And here's why, if you ask me, if the Bills stay at nine, who would they draft? I'm thinking they draft Eric Ebron. What if they get to nine and the following guys are gone? Clowney, Mack, Greg Robinson, Jake Matthews, that's four. Sammy Watkins is five. Mike Evans is six. Manziel is seven, even though the Bills wouldn't want him. And Taylor Lewan, let's say, is eight. Isn't Eric Ebron the next best guy? I mean, on Mike Mayock's 100 prospects list, Ebron's number eight. So he fits a position that the Bills could use, a pass-catching, deep threat type of tight end. I don't know. I just think that if they stay at nine, it could make sense to draft Eric Ebron. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear what Bill Polian thinks, the longtime general manager of the Buffalo Bills, ran the Carolina Panthers, the Indianapolis Colts. He's going to be part of ESPN's draft coverage this week, and he did a conference call today and touched on a variety of draft issues. We'll get his thoughts, give you our thoughts, and take your thoughts. A lot of thinking going on. Phone lines open when we return, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Half hour to go on this show. The phone lines open, 803-0550. The number, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. The draft, 3 days away. Can't wait. And we're just a couple of days away, 2 days away from our Channel 7 Draft Special, the 2014 Buffalo Bills Draft Special, this Wednesday night, 7 o'clock on WKBW-TV, Channel 7 in Buffalo. Going to be on in Rochester as well on WHAM-TV, Channel 13. Myself, Chris Brown, Alexander Vitale, Jeff Russo, hosting a lot of good interviews. Jim Monas, the Bills Player Personnel Director, Doug Whaley. E.J. Manuel sits down and relives his big draft day from a year ago. Charles Davis of the NFL Network, and a lot more. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock here in Buffalo on WKBW-TV, Channel 7, and in Rochester on WHAM-TV, Channel 13. Hey, if you haven't done so already, take a look and download the Buffalo Bills Touch app for your iPad, Windows, or Android tablet device today. The Bills have just released a one-of-a-kind draft preview issue on the Bills Touch application. It's loaded with all kinds of great interactivity, draft prospect videos, an in-depth look at Bills draft history, some mock draft summaries, a live draft board. I checked it out the other day. There's a lot of good stuff there. And also there's a stadium renovation guide with an interactive virtual tour, behind-the-scenes video, and some photo galleries updated regularly, a lot more, too. Download Buffalo Bills Touch. It's free. It's in the Apple iTunes Store and the Windows App Store and at the Google Play Store. And tap into this essential tool that helps bring you closer to the Bills than ever before. Bills Touch. It's available, as I said, in the Apple iTunes Store, the Windows App Store, and the Google Play Store. A lot of good draft information there. Draft information, draft thoughts from you. The phone line's open at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Every once in a while on this show over the last week or so, when we talk about trading up or down, we make reference to the trade value chart. It's available anywhere online. Essentially, it's a every pick in every round, seven rounds, all 32 picks, is assigned fairly arbitrarily a point value, and it's all relative. And what you try to do is compare, for instance, if the Bills want to trade up from number 9 up to, say, number 6 in the draft, they need to give up, I think the value chart, I don't have it up right now, is like 250 points, which equates to about a late second, early third rounder. So that you can say, if they want to move up to number 6, they need to supply Atlanta with a second or third rounder. Now, it's not exact. In fact, many teams say they don't use it at all anymore. Mike Mayock from the NFL Network talks about the trade value chart and whether it has any application when you start to think about some of the moves these teams will make.
You know, what's interesting, in the last couple of years, there used to be this trade chart that all the teams had, and it was a point, it assigned a point value for every pick in the draft. And if you went from the 10th to the 14th spot, it was worth X points, and therefore that team had to give you a similar value in points. And that's kind of the last two or three years, that's kind of gone out the window with the CBA, when those top 10 or 12 picks changed and there was a whole different financial perspective for those top picks. So it's gotten more and more, and you could see, for instance, Oakland, when they traded back from whatever it was last year, 3, I think it was, to 12 or 13, they didn't get anywhere near the value. I think they picked up a second-round pick, but to me it made sense. Teams are doing more and more things that just makes sense functionally from a football perspective, and they're throwing the trade chart out the window. So if Detroit's there at 10 and the one or two guys they really wanted are gone, and even if they move down five or six spots and they got one pick, a third round, to me, that's a bonus. Why not? You're going to get the same guy at 14 as you're going to get to 10, and if you pick up a third or fourth round pick, that's awesome. So I don't think it's something they're going to know until they get on the clock.
Mike Mayock talking about the draft trade value chart. And he makes a good point. I don't know if it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think it might make sense later on in the draft than it does, say, in the first round. For instance, if the Bills at 9, right now, first round, ninth pick is 1350 points. If they want to move up to 6, where the Atlanta Falcons are, say, to get Mike Evans, let's say, that would necessitate the Buffalo Bills to come up with 250 points to compensate the Atlanta Falcons, which is the equivalent of an early third-round pick. Now, in the first half of the first round, do you really think the Atlanta Falcons would make that trade for the Bill with the Bills for a third-round pick, early third-round pick? I don't think so. I don't think they would. I think the trade value chart has much more application down lower in the draft. Some of the other, you know, when you get beyond the maybe the third round or so. Because then, you know, you're trading around, you're moving around. But in the first round, teams know that if you're making a move up three spots, say in this case for the Bills, you want a player. And they're going to hold you hostage. And they're not going to be held hostage to an arbitrary point value system. I think the trade value chart has very little application when it comes to the first round, in particular the first half of the first round, where the Buffalo Bills find themselves. As we said, Bill Polian, longtime NFL executive with the Bills, the Panthers, the Colts, six-time NFL executive of the year. Had a long conference call today with the media. Bills getting set for ESPN's coverage of the NFL draft this week. Bill Polian talked, and he's had experience around drafts. He talked a little bit about teams that need a quarterback. There are teams with quarterback needs. As you know, there are very divergent opinions on some of these quarterbacks, Johnny Manziel most prominently. And Polian says for those teams that are in the market for a quarterback this year, it's going to drive them crazy because there's not a surefire can't-miss guy among the quarterback crop this year.
The nature of the need is going to drive people up. I'm not saying that if a quarterback is taken at one or two or three or four, it's the incorrect choice. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is that none of these guys are surefire, can't-miss guys for any number of different reasons, and therefore, by simple draft analysis, you drive them down into the middle. Now, if a need forces you to go up, so be it. They won't get any argument from me, because if you don't have one, you're not going to have a job very long. That's the bottom line. So, you know, they tend to be, as a general rule, overdrafted, and I don't think anything will change in this year's draft because of it, and I can't blame anybody because of it.
Yeah, very astute points by Bill Polian. You can't blame teams that are in need of a quarterback for overdrafting him. I mean, you could argue, it has been argued, that the Bills did that a year ago when they, even though they traded down, when they drafted E.J. Manuel higher than many people thought. And you can't blame teams who need a quarterback for making that move, because if you need a quarterback, you need a quarterback. You need him right away. And his initial point, I thought Polian made, was good too, is there is not, it's hard to find a safe prospect among this quarterback group this year. Hard to find a guy who is has a reasonable expectation of success in the NFL, I believe. And as I look at these quarterbacks, you know who I think maybe the safest quarterback pick, the guy who probably is going to have a decent, if not great, but a decent NFL career. Who do you think I'm going to say, Jay Harris, producer Jay Harris? Who am I going to say? Quarterback?
You're going to say Blake Bortles?
Nope. No, sir. Not a fan. Anybody else?
You Carr? Want
to... yeah. Derek Carr, I think.
Derek Carr, yeah.
I think. Yeah, because of his physical stature, because of his serious approach to it. I've met him. He's a very mature guy. He has had success in the college level. I think I'm not saying he's going to be the best quarterback in this draft. I'm saying today, 3 days before the draft, Derek Carr from Fresno State is probably the safest quarterback pick
to come
in
and play right away, or are you saying more long-term?
More long-term.
Yep.
The guy who's going to play in the league at quarterback.
Yes.
Not necessarily start. You know, forever and ever, but a guy who's going to have some success in the league. I think Derek Carr stands out to me as the one guy of this early quarterback group who has that.
And what do you think fans look at? They want somebody right away to come in there and maybe make a pitch like Manziel and drive everybody crazy. And then, you know, game plan for that, that's going to go out the window real quick.
I think many fans want Manziel to come in and make the throws against you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers that he was making against, you know, Baylor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen that easily, which is not to say there's potential for Manziel, I believe, and I've watched tape, a potential for him to be a good quarterback in the league, but there are also limitations physically, stature-wise, approach to the game, which I think argue that he will not be that guy, but other people feel differently. Bill Polian, who's going to be the number one quarterback selected in the draft? I believe it'll probably be Johnny Manziel because of the big name, because of the reputation. But that's not what Bill Polian thinks. This is what he said in the conference call today about the quarterbacks and who might be the first quarterback to go off the board.
This is a stab in the dark. Believe me, it's a stab in the dark because, as I said earlier, I started out with these players all rated in the bottom or in the middle to the bottom of the first round. So I don't know which one will be drafted higher. I'm going to take if you put a gun to my head and said, all right, make a pick, I'd say it's Bortles only because he's prototypical in terms of size, and he's played for a coach, George O'Leary, who knows the National Football League well. Now, that's not to denigrate anybody else or any other coach, but if you want to take a smidgen of data that would separate him from the others, it would be that his prototypical size, and George at least has made him mentally tough enough to handle what he's going to face in the National Football League. Are any of them ready to come in and play right away? I've been on record with you, Jimmy, and others as saying, no, I don't think so.
Bill Polian talking about the quarterbacks. He believes Bortles should be the first quarterback chosen in the draft this weekend. Here's a call from Dave in Cheektowaga. Hi, Dave. Welcome.
How are you?
Good.
I saw on NFL.com that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were interested in trading Glennon, their quarterback that they got last year. He's large in size, stature, and he has a very good arm. He played fairly well against the Bills last year. They took us to the task. Just wondered if they were looking to trade it for like a late round pick. He played 13 NFL games, five of which his QB rating was over 100. Would you think the Bills would be interested in going that route, taking a lot of the mystery out of the college player because he's got 13 games under his belt?
Dave, would you rather have Glennon than EJ Manuel?
No, I think they're probably their stats are very equal, but. You know, with EJ's injury problems, I'm not saying that Glennon could be brought in if we can get him cheap as the starter, but certainly he would be a guy, because of his size, that I think would be a great insurance policy, and I don't think it would be any harm to the team to bring in a guy like that to compete for one of the backup jobs.
No, there's no harm in competing for backup or starter. I'm not saying that. I believe EJ has a much, much, much higher upside than Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon, I know he played last year for a not a good Tampa team, and I know he made some plays, but I don't think he has the athleticism to succeed at the position in the NFL, where I think that could be EJ Manuel's strong suit. They both have a lot of development to come, but I think there's a much higher upside for EJ Manuel than Mike Glennon could ever dream of. And I mean, to bring him in on a flyer, I guess. I know these guys, this Bills group, likes Thad Lewis as the backup quarterback, so I think that's unlikely. They like Thad Lewis' athleticism, too. They like Thad Lewis' approach to the game, his smarts, and what he brings from that perspective. So I think that's unlikely. We're going to take a break. Get back. We got time for more calls after the break and time for more talk about the draft. Only 3 days away now. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
A couple of minutes left in the show here tonight. Do it again tomorrow night, 7 to 9 p.m. We're talking about the website earlier and Chris Brown's feature on the clock feature. There's also our continuation of our regular video feature, the NFL Draft Preview. Johnny Manziel is up right now. If you go to buffalobills.com and look for it, it is a draft preview with Johnny Manziel featuring highlights of his career at Texas A&M and some comments from him from the NFL Combine. Tomorrow, one of my favorite prospects, the linebacker Mike Borland from Wisconsin, is up on buffalobills.com. Here's a call from Ian in Buffalo. Hi, Ian. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, John.
How are you?
Just two things. With the draft, with the first round, I'm not really into the sexy pick. I think we should absolutely go after Lawan if he's available. I think offensive line is an absolute must. We had a horrible start to the running game last year. EJ needs the protection. And when it comes to insurance for quarterback, honest to God, I think Aaron Murray in the fourth or fifth round, if he's available, it would be the absolute smartest pick the Bills can make. Tons of upside to the kid. Had a great career in college. Broke tons of SEC records. Destroyed Stanford's record without A.J. Green. Without half the talented squad, no Sean Moreno. And it's a high-value pick in the late round.
I agree with you on that.
I'll hang up and listen to what you got to say, John.
Okay, thanks, Ian. If Aaron Murray's there in the fourth, yeah, I'd be all right with that. I would. I'd be all right with that if Aaron Murray was there. And I think much greater upside than the guy the caller talked about a minute ago, Mike Glennon. You mentioned Taylor Lewan. I have to say, and this could be smokescreen, but I don't hear his name a lot associated with the Buffalo Bills. I don't know, both in and outside the building, I don't know that he's high on their list of offensive linemen. I think Jake Matthews is high on their list. Obviously Robinson, although he probably won't get a whiff at him. I don't know if it means that they'd take him at number nine, but I think there's interest in Zach Martin from Notre Dame. But Taylor Lewan, for whatever reason, is one name that I don't hear a lot of buzz around when it comes to the Buffalo Bills. But again, could be smokescreen. Here's smokescreen, I think, coming out of Kansas City today. The Chiefs reported today that They are considering selecting a quarterback in the first round. Now, this is not coincidental. A report from Ian Rappaport that contract talks with Alex Smith are not progressing well. That's a familiar scenario, right? You're having trouble getting a guy signed to a contract, so you put out there 3 days before the draft. Maybe we're interested in a quarterback in the first round. Alex Smith turns 30 on Wednesday. He'll be a free agent going into the final year of his deal. Had a great year last year. The Chiefs with the 23rd overall selection in the first round, so they let it out there today that maybe they'll pick a quarterback in the first round. There's talk about the future of the draft itself, by the way, and the city of Chicago, the city of Los Angeles, mayors from both cities are interested in pursuing the draft next year, the 2015 draft. Roger Goodell said in Los Angeles today that Chicago and L.A. have aggressively pitched their cities for the draft. The league has said in the past it will consider alternatives to Radio City in New York, including venues in other cities. Goodell also indicated that the league is considering expansion of the draft to 4 days. That's all good. Go to 4 days? Okay, I can live with that. Move it out of New York? I can live with that. They got to move it back a couple of weeks, though. This is just too long. We've waited too long for this draft. We've waited way too long for this draft. We're having fun. I'm excited about it coming up Thursday, but enough is enough. Let's bring on the draft. It's only 3 days away now. We can wait that long. Tomorrow night, more draft talk right here on the show. We'll be on the air from 7 to 9 p.m. tomorrow night. Hope you tune into that. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Tom Wright's our engineer, Jay Harris our producer, and the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. See you tomorrow night at 7, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.